If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Do you have questions that you would like to discuss with Bishop Lambert? Then make plans now to attend Ask Bishop Lambert at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come and receive a fresh perspective on some of life's most challenging issues, from family, finances, relationships, biblical principles, you name it. It's all open for discussion during this lively Q&A session. Ask Bishop Lambert is taking place Friday, November 6th at 7:30 p.m. in Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit betheldeliverance.org. Do you have questions that you would like to discuss with Bishop Lambert? Then make plans now to attend Ask Bishop Lambert at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come and receive a fresh perspective on some of life's most challenging issues, from family, finances, relationships, biblical principles, you name it. It's all open for discussion during this lively Q&A session. Ask Bishop Lambert is taking place Friday, November 6th at 7:30 p.m. in Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit betheldeliverance.org.
I go to the YMCA for my morning workout, and they give me this key fob. And when I go in, I put it under the infrared light, and it'll beep. And if my membership is up to date, my picture comes up on the screen. Now, they get my picture on the screen at the front desk. But I just found out that the person in the fitness center sitting at a desk gets my picture as well. In other words, the people at the desk out front, my picture comes up for them to let me in. But the person in the fitness center gets my picture to tell him I'm coming. Y'all better hear me. When you say in the name of Jesus, it gets every demon's attention. That lets them know you're coming. But then the angel of God knows that you're born again. God dispatches him to get you around the devil so that you can come in and worship God the way you want to. You don't have to ask God to let you into his presence. All you have to do is say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And once you speak that name, demons start trembling. Devils say, let's just check and make sure they got the right name. When they look it up on their Facebook page and you come up born again, they know they can't stop you. But they don't want you to know you can't be stopped. So they come at you with a whole bunch of lies. You messed up last week. You sinned last week. Jesus don't want to talk to you. That's when you tell the devil, devil, it's because I messed up that I know he wants to talk to me. He said, come, let's reason together. I'm not going to let you mess up my speech. You better learn how to handle this thing. The Lord help me. You got power to raise them up, but you're not doing the healing. But you got power to raise them up, but you're not doing the healing. If God can trust you to realize that you're not doing the healing, that he can flow through you to raise them up. So when sickness is in the room, you come in and speak the right word and raise them up. But give God the glory for doing the healing. Citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven ought to be boisterous. Amen. Citizens of heaven. Muslims are always boasting about their kingdom. All praise is due to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. Who cares? All praise is due to Jehovah for the blessed gift of Jesus. Hey, my Muslim friend. Muhammad is dead. Buried. In a grave. His bones are there. But my Jesus died. But in 3 days, he got up. And he's not dead no more. Daniel wanted to understand God's plan for his people. Jesus tells us in John's gospel, when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to show you what? The future. The Holy Spirit is not just here to make you rejoice. Jesus said he's also here to convince you of wrong. He is also here to stand by you when you feel alone. But he's also here to show you the future. That means that he can tell you what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. But he does it in a way that many people will miss it, because we have yet to have been taught how to follow his leading. So we say things like, my mind said, something told me, should have followed my first mind. Well, as a Christian, the first thing that comes to you is God. And he'll tell you, don't take that plane. Don't leave your house at 8 o'clock. Stay till 9. Because he knew that the tractor trailer was going to careen out of control and hit the spot that you would have been sitting. Most of us, truth be told, have to testify that the negative things that happen in our lives happen after we violate God's direction. Then we're down at the altar, Lord, why you let this happen to me? He said, I tried to warn you. You just thought you knew more than me. So the Holy Spirit is going to tell you the future. Yes, he will. But watch this. You have to get into the habit of praying and asking him for direction. Should I do this? Should I not? James even says we shouldn't say, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. We should say, Lord willing. Because we don't know what he's willing unless we ask. Psalm 19, 14. David says something here. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Now, why is David saying, let the words of my mouth be acceptable? Because words have the power of life and death. But how many of you are seated in here today and you are still reeling, still off balance, still hurt by something your parents said about your character when you were a child? Because they told you you ain't never gonna amount to nothing, you ain't no good, like all the men in your family ain't no good, and you grew up not being any good. Where did it come from? Because somebody spoke a negative word, and that word had the power of death. So when the Bible says that person who gave you that negative word of death, the fruit thereof is the behavior of that child. So he said, you're going to eat the fruit of it. The fruit of that negative speech is the behavior of that child. And you can't go to God and say, straighten them out, because God can't straighten out what you planted. Why? He honors vows. That's why I used to go into my daughter and my godson's room, and I would stand over them and proclaim blessings. I would stand over their bed when they were sleeping, and I would stretch my hands, and I say, you're going to grow up to glorify God. Everything in you is going to glorify God. It doesn't matter what you see or hear. You're going to grow up and glorify God, and both of them are growing up to glorify God. Why? Because of what's said. You think prayer alone works? I don't think so. Prayer alone don't work. You got to say something. Foolish talk brings us down. And as a people, we are prone to foolish talk. We have 400 years of bondage, 400 years of slavery. And now here we are, free in that respect, but still in slavery in our mind. How do you know? Everything we try, everything we're going to try, it's always prefaced by how hard it is. Bishop, I want to go back to school, but it's going to be hard. When they change your name to Billy Goat, just button up against everything. No, I'm going back to school. Not, I want to go, but it's hard. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't understand. They want to give me this new job, but I don't think I can do it. Why? Where'd that come from? It came from years of being told that you couldn't do something. When we hear that someone is aspiring to something great, way out of the realm of our socialization, we have a tendency to put them down, to deny that dream, and begin to tell them why they can't do it. That is a racially inflicted wound. We have killed the dreams of our children because our dreams were killed by years of slavery. Slavery was institutionalized when it became mental. We became self-hating, and so we're suspicious of one another, self-deprecating, and so we don't lift one another. Unforgiving of ourselves, so we don't forgive others. Non-loving of ourselves, so we can't love others, let alone God. And what do you think is going to come out of your mouth? No fountain can send forth both bitter and sweet waters. And if your experiences are bitter, your speech will be bitter. You can't lift me if you can't lift yourself. Turn around and say something to somebody that's lifting. Look at you. You can't even do it. Look at you. You can't even think of it. It won't even come to your mind. But if I told you to look at that person and find fault in something, that would have come out in a second. Why? Because those are the things that are in us about us. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Backbiting is not acceptable in God's sight. Slander is not acceptable in God's sight. Bad communication is not acceptable in God's sight. Therefore, I can't do it. I can't put my brother down. I can't put my sister down. Listen to this. I can't even put a sinner down. There is one group of people that should not be criticizing President Obama. And I ain't talking about Democrats. I'm not talking about political people. The one group of people that should not be criticizing the president are Christians. We should not criticize him because the Bible says, pray for him. We pray for them that are in authority. It's hard to pray for somebody when you're criticizing them. I don't like his policies. Fine, don't like them. This is America. But keep it to yourself and God. Go to God. Why? Because the heart of the king. You sit down and argue with me about his policies. What we gonna do? What can we do but just get a whole bunch of hatred in our heart? But if we go to God and say, Father, I'm praying for the president. Touch his heart. Turn his heart from that ungodly decision. He's gonna sign that bill for abortion. Touch his heart while he's asleep at night. The reason why politicians are doing so much evil is because the Christians are not praying that God will touch their hearts to do good. We have abdicated our responsibility and we've become one of the complainers rather than one of the trendsetters. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Speak life! See, we've accepted the status quo. We've accepted the two-party system. But I want to tell you that the president is not in charge of the United States. He was voted by the people, but he ain't in charge. The person that is in charge is the person that waters your crops, not the person who distributes them. The person that is in charge is the person who actually heals bodies, not the people who diagnose and gives medicine. Lord, help me. The person that is in charge is not the people that's printing your money, but it's the person who put the gold in the ground that the money is backed up, Lord. Why you keep messing with middlemen? So they laid you off. God is your source. He's got wealth that you don't know about. He said, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof belongs to me. The gold and the silver is mine. The cattle on the thousand hills belongs to me. Say what God says. I'm unemployed, but I ain't poor. Y'all don't. Now, look here. I used to teach this class on Saturdays. It was called Faith Clinic. And we had a great, great time. And there was a lady sitting over in that section. She stood up one week and she said, y'all, I need y'all all to pray for me because I lost my job and my hospitalization ran out. And the Spirit of God brought something to my mind, gave me a question to ask. I said, since your hospitalization has run out, have you been sick? She said, no. I said, well, it appears that you don't need it. See, right away she began thinking, I'm going to need the hospitalization, the medical insurance, just in case. She didn't even realize that when the medical insurance stopped, God stepped in and kept her from getting sick. We don't even see what God is doing. He said in Isaiah, I'm doing a new thing. You don't even see me doing it. You are so used to having the government take care of you. You are so used to having the political regime set your destiny. He said, I've been sitting up here waiting for you to come to the end of yourself so I can show you a new way, so I can open up a way in your desert and put streams out there and give you a road in the wilderness so I can show you that I'm in charge of your finances. If I can get you to say the right thing instead of confessing doubt and unbelief and start confessing God's ability. Jesus said something in Mark's gospel. He says in Mark chapter 4, he said the sower goes out to sow the seed. He said, and that seed falls on four types of ground. The first one, he said, these are the wayside hearers. When the seed is cast, he said, immediately Satan comes and snatches it away from him. You ever notice how you can sit through a 3-hour movie and never have to go to the bathroom? But when you come to church, you can't hold your water. You ever notice that? You ever notice you got to go at church? Oh, I got to leave during the sermon. But when you're in the movies, you can sit through a Kevin Costner movie. And his movies are all 2.5 to almost 3 hours long. Why? Because he doesn't want you to get the word. And if you notice, he'll always have you move at the moment of your breakthrough. You've been waiting all week for this particular word, and he touches your bladder. Go to the bathroom. You got to pee. You got to pee now. Go. And you just get up. By the time you come back, that ship has sailed. That train has rolled. And now you got another week of that hell. What you have to do is take control and say, you know what, Lord, I'm too hungry. I'm waiting for this. You're about to do, listen to me carefully. You know when you're about to get a breakthrough. You can feel it. Don't lie to me. You can. You can feel when God's about to do something because you start feeling closer to him. If you ain't feeling it, you're not spirit-filled. You can start feeling something's happening. There's an uneasiness. If you're not careful, you can feed it the wrong things. You'll say something like, I feel lonely and I need to be with my friends. No. You're not. You don't need to be with them. God is pulling you up closer to him. Now listen, between where you are and where he wants you to be, there's a vacuum stage where you feel lonely. Once you recognize that loneliness is God elevating you to the next level, then you don't mind feeling lonely. You don't have to call a lot of people or text a lot of people. You'll realize that God is elevating me, and the elevation brings a degree of discomfort. See, if the devil gets you into that stage and you start speaking negatively, oh, I feel like I'm by myself. Nobody loves me and nobody cares about me. You fall right back down to mediocrity. But when you understand that when you feel God pulling you up, Lord have mercy. God had Moses The Bible said he was on the backside of the desert. The backside of the desert is the part that doesn't grow grass. It's perpetually in the shade. It doesn't get the photosynthesis of the sun. Therefore, you're not getting a whole lot of grass. They might get a lot of crab grass, a lot of weeds, but no substantive grass. Why? It's on the backside of the desert. But notice, that's when he called him. So in your period of not feeling fruitful, in your time of feeling disconnected, in your time of feeling lonely, please know that God is setting you up for a bush burning experience. Because if he did not isolate you from everything else, you would not be able to hear him when he called you, because you would hear everybody else and then your speech would be messed up. So he isolates you and keeps you off to himself and puts you in non-fruitful situations. For some of you ministers, you don't get a preaching engagement. Nobody wants to hear from you. And when you do preach, it looks like they're going to sleep. That's because God is saying you're preaching under an old anointing. And if I keep blessing your old anointing, you'll think that's where I want you. So I've got to get you over here where you'll be so broken till you begin to fast and pray. And once you fast and pray, the answer that you want isn't what's going to come. You're going to start fasting and praying so you can have better messages and more power. But that's not what's going to come. What's going to come is a better connection with me. I'm not going to give you a better anointing. I'm going to give you a better understanding of me. And when you understand me better, then you're going to lower yourself and realize that I'm not here to project or portray me. I'm here to give you Jesus. Now, if Jesus is obscured by me, then God has to move me out the way so you can see Jesus. When one walks with Jesus, their speech is noticeable. Paul says, let your speech be seasoned with salt and gracious always. When you walk with Jesus, you're not a condemning talker. When your speech is seasoned with salt and gracious, God can send people to you with problems and they can confess those problems, but you're going to give them a gracious, salty answer. What is salt? A preservative. In other words, when I come to you to confess my shortcoming, I'm going to walk away feeling that God has forgiven me. Your speech betrays you. Christians, we weren't called to bash homosexuals. Stop doing it. You can't isolate one action and say that that's what's bringing down America. I love Jerry Falwell. He's a great man of God. But I disagreed with that concept. The sin of homosexuality isn't what's bringing down America. Greed is what's bringing down America. Capitalism is what's destroying America. A homosexual can be born again. Jesus said a greedy person can't get into heaven. But I don't see the church out there having marches against greed. No, because the people that we have promoting the gospel are just as greedy. Would dare to lie to you and say, if you give $150, God's got a special blessing for you. Since when do you sell God's blessings? Jesus paid for those things. Bunch of foolishness, and we just soaking it up. Why? Why are we soaking it up? Because we're greedy. The only people that really can be conned are con people. I've never bought a hot item. Even when the guy comes up to me, hey, brother, you want to buy a watch? Heck no. It ain't stolen. Then why isn't it in the store? But the only people that are susceptible to that are those whose hearts themselves are cons. And you can tell by what? Speech. Tell by speech. Speech is very revealing. I don't believe that things just slip out. I think they come out and you didn't want it to come out. But speech is very revealing. Your speech betrays you. And like Jephthah, we say things we really don't mean because we haven't thought it through. God, please, Lord, if you give me this job, I promise you that I'll give you 20% instead of 10. Do you actually think that God can be kind? You think when you make that statement to God, he's sitting there going, yes. Oh, I've been waiting for that. Let me give you this job so I can get that 20% from you. No, here's what he's going to say. If you don't give me a tithe of 100, you sure ain't going to give it to me of 1,000. Because it's not the amount, it's your heart. How many of us in here have made deals with God? Lord, if you do such and such, I'll do so and so. God isn't moved by that foolishness. Why are we even saying it? God, I'm telling you, Lord, we want that building. We want that new building. You give us that new building, Father, and we'll reach out to the lost in a way we've never done before. God says, well, why aren't you reaching out now? There's no reason for me to give you that building because you're not reaching out now. You're satisfied where you are. How's your speech? Watch this. There is the tendency to hear what the preacher says and then go home and think that growth happens by osmosis. Without participation, things are just going to change in your life. It's not happening. You have to be consciously aware of the things you say. Now, there are some behavioralists who espouse the theory of classical conditioning and operant conditioning. For the psychologists, this type of conditioning, for example, operant conditioning is every time you reach for a ginger snap, you don't know that I've wired the door so that you get a little electric shock. So every time you reach for that ginger snap, you get shocked. You're becoming conditioned operantly. That means that it is a bad thing to influence good behavior. You shouldn't have that cookie. Doctor said you shouldn't have it. We've tried everything else to condition you, but not even the fear of diabetes or high blood pressure. So every time you grab that knob, you let that knob go and you don't get that cookie. That's operant conditioning. So the bad thing is every time you grab any knob, you're going to think twice. And this is how you're going to do it. You're going to just kind of touch it fast. Let me help you quick. Never touch anything electrical like this, because the initial impulse will be to grab and you'll get shocked. Always touch anything electrical but the back of your hand so that you can pull away from it when it shocks you. So after somebody puts an electrical charge on your doorknobs, you can just pull your hand away as opposed to grabbing it. Amen. How to get away with murder. Understand. Then there is classical conditioning. It's the Pavlov's dog theory. Every time the bell rang, his mouth salivated because he knew food was coming. That's what the devil does. He classically conditions us to say the wrong thing. And so we become so conditioned to it that when certain provocatives come, we say the wrong thing instinctively. Now we have to be reconditioned. How does that happen? By associating with people who have like mind, like vision, like dream, like anointing to break the curse that's been spoken in the past. If you are in a situation where you just instinctively help people, you are classically conditioned based upon what they're going through. So much so that you actually think that you are doing something wrong if you don't help them. God may be wanting to judge behavior, but you keep getting in his way because you are conditioned to help from something in your past. God says, all right, I got to break that. How? He puts you in a position where you don't have the financial wherewithal to help him anymore. But you will borrow it to help him because you're conditioned. We are conditioned to negative speech. We are conditioned to speak in a negative fashion. Our childhood, our socialization, our ethnicity has conditioned us. How are you? I'm hanging in there. It's a colloquialism, but it is also a mindset. Hanging represents I'm at the end of my rope, and I'm just doing all I can do just to hang in there. But the Bible says, having done all the... Now you got to be reconditioned. How are you? 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 Seven times it ought to register. How you making it? How things going? Now your speech will betray you. Heard you had a bad doctor's report. How are you? Watch this. But what did the doctor say? Some of y'all got it. Put a personal pronoun in front of standing. What did the doctor say? What did he say would happen to you? Are you getting this? In other words, I don't have to agree with the doctor. I'm agreeing with God. God didn't say I'm dying. God said I'm standing. God said with his stripes I'm healed. I am on something specific. His promise. Now, how long do I recite it? Until I see it. Now I'm going to set you up. How long do I recite it? Where? Not in the natural. Until I see it in my spirit. Until my spirit locks into the word of God and we agree. And there is no room for doubt because my speech lets God know that I'm in agreement with him. No but. He said he would heal me, but this is in my family. He said he would heal me. Well, Pastor, what if I'm not getting healed? Say the word of God. Stop trying to figure out stuff you don't need to know. When it's time for you to die, you're going to die. Don't sit around dying until it's time. Scared to go out the house. A little hiccup. Ooh, I got my head is hurt. Ooh, that's the high blood pressure. Some of you have been having a stroke for 20 years. I got tingling going down my arm. Oh Lord, I got tingling. I can't hardly move my leg. That ain't got nothing to do with a stroke. Maybe your shoes are too tight, or maybe there's a thousand other things. Why do we immediately go to the debilitating sickness? Listen to our speech. These kids are about to kill me. See, there, somebody said it right away. Must have had kids. Those of you that had teenagers, you know what I'm saying. These kids are about to. Listen, even when we get a positive, we add a negative to it. I love you too. Listen to you. How many of you have somebody that you love to death? Do you understand? You're not saying, that phrase isn't saying, I love you till I die. What it's saying is, I love you to death. What? Till what dies? My love? I love you to death. What does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? All right, you're saying it means I love you till you die. So why not say that? Now watch this. Why is your love stopping when they die? You just told them you're going to find somebody else when they're gone. I love you as long as you live. But after that, I was in the barber shop one time, and a guy was in there talking to my barber. And they were talking about this man that they knew whose wife had died. And it had been like 6-8 months. And he was feeling guilty about dating somebody else. So the barber and the other guy was talking, and the other guy says to my barber, he said, I told my wife that when they put me in the ground, if you see somebody across the cemetery nodding at you, go on ahead and be with them. He said, because can you imagine being at the gravesite, dropping your loved one down, and you look up and somebody go, hey. The body's still going down on that long rope, and they're like, as soon as it's over. What you doing tonight? I know you're free. I can hear my mother now. Boy, you ain't got no sense. Watch this. Watch. I want you to walk out of here and practice a form of either operant conditioning or classical conditioning. Every time you say something negative, write it down. You know when you're saying something negative. Every time you gossip, every time you backbite, every time you say something improper to someone, write it down. Write it down every time. And then read it at the end of the day. Then the next day, every time you say something good, wholesome, encouraging, write that down and see which one outweighs the other. This won't work if you don't participate. This won't work if you don't participate. This will not work if you don't participate. Because we can't go any further until you are aware of your speech patterns. Did you say something good to someone this morning? Not good morning. That's a greeting. But something good. Beyond I love you. Did you say something to push someone towards their Christ-honoring destiny? Or did you say something that's in line with our ethnicity? You wearing that to church? Last week, two people were in a line behind a woman at Starbucks. And unbeknownst to the two people, this woman had been through a weight issue, but she had lost 40-some pounds. She has her child with her, and she decides to celebrate by going to Starbucks. She's probably dressed in a little quick fashion. She still has some extra weight that she needs to lose. And the two insensitive people behind her begin to talk about her size. Oh, look at her hair. Oh, the whale has to eat. Now I know they were Caucasian, because if it had been one of us, it would have been on the 6 o'clock news, and the Pope being here would have been the second story. Homicide at Starbucks. Bethel member cut somebody's throat. We're now speaking to Pastor Eric Lambert. Did you know your members carry razors? I suspected it. But the offended woman upon hearing the insult, walked up to the counter and bought their coffee for them. I cried when I read that story. I kid you not. I cried, just like I do on Forrest Gump. I cried. You know why? Because the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. I don't know what her Christological positionings are, but I do know she exhibited godliness. And when they asked why she did that, here's what she said. She said, I wanted to set a good example for my child. My brothers and sisters, the word works. Man shot in front of me on Old York Road. I came up, I pulled out the parking lot at the vitamin shop, and he came around because he didn't like the way I did it, so he got in front of me. And when he got in front of me, he showed me his IQ with the middle finger of his right hand. Now, the Eric of 2000 would have wanted to enter into dialogue to explain to him how irresponsible that action was, and would have showed him his finger in a napkin. But this Eric, having preached the word of God the way I have, pulled up alongside of him when he saw my ethnicity. Pulled down his window. I pulled down my window. I got on his driver's side. I pulled down my window, looked over at him. He looked over at me. And as the Lord would have it, the light was red, so he couldn't get away from me. And I looked over at him and I said, sir, I apologize for my erratic driving. It seemed to have inconvenienced you. And that is not the example that I wish to portray. Please forgive me. This man looked at me and said, sir, I am sorry for my response. Forgive me for that. I said, it's okay. Jesus loves you. And I drove away. And the Holy Spirit said, a soft answer always turns away wrath. Now, some of you in here are not that delivered, but it's okay. God had me tell that story so that you could get delivered. Why? Because there are more of them than there are of us. But we're the light. And we can't let those things affect our speech. Kindness works. Love works.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
09415P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.